Imagine now for a moment that you're a child and that you're a refugee. You come to Australia to seek refuge and you're successful. But you're on your own. And when you try to get your family here, you're told they're not allowed in. That's exactly what has happened to one young refugee thanks to a High Court decision today. His name is Javed Tahiri. And his case could be significant because at least 10% of asylum seekers to this country are children who come by themselves. So, to explain what impact this might have and why this has happened today, I'm joined by Joel Townsend. He's the Migration Program Manager at Victoria Legal Aid, who were instructing lawyers in the case. Joel, thank you very much for your time. What was the High Court's reasoning here?
Well, the High Court found that the delegate of the minister who'd made the decision hadn't fallen into a legal error in making the decision. And that was contrary to our arguments. We had argued that in finding that the home country of the children that our client was trying to bring to Australia, and in finding that the law of the Afghanistan should be referred to in determining whether those children could come to Australia, the department had fallen into an error, and unfortunately for Mr. Tahiri, the High Court found that that wasn't an error and that thus those applications fail.
Right, so as I understand it, just to be clear, there's a thing called Public Interest Criterion 4015 or PIC 4015.
That's right.
And that thing requires that the delegate that makes the decision, so in this case, you know, an employee of the Immigration Department, has to be satisfied that in the law of the child's home country, their removal was legal.
That's right.
So in this case, it wasn't. Something about the law in Afghanistan meant that this child's parents, when they left Afghanistan, it was really just the mother because the father's dead, the mother left Afghanistan in violation of Afghan law.
Well, that's right. The mother left with our client and with three of her other children. She was pregnant with the fourth of her other children at the time. They left Afghanistan. They've been living in Quetta in Pakistan for the past decade. Mm. Now, despite that, the department found that the law of the home country, which was relevant, was Afghanistan, and that the law of that home country didn't permit the removal of the children to Australia. Now, there's a second part to that public interest criterion, and that's a part which says that that any person who has the right to lawfully determine where the children should live has given their consent to their coming to Australia. And in this case, the delegate found that the family of the missing father in Afghanistan could, under the law of Afghanistan, decide where the children should live. Wow. We argued that the law of Australia should apply, that you should look at this case and say this is a mother who's been the sole carer and custodian of her children for a decade, and under Australian law, that custodianship that a parent has gives them the right to decide where a child lives. Mm. And the High Court said no, that the criterion required that anyone who had the right to decide where a child lives under any law in any country in the world had to give their consent before the child could come here.
Right, okay. And I should just correct myself there. I said the father was dead. That's not true, or at least we don't know if it's true. He's just missing at this stage. So.
He went missing on the road to Kandahar about a decade ago. Now, a Hazara going missing on the road to Kandahar, you might draw an inference that he's not going to come back into this family's life.
Yes, but I probably shouldn't be drawing inferences from
the
side of the
microphone. No, indeed.
Okay, so it seems then that there's an issue here, because if you are trying to flee a country and it has laws that prevent you from fleeing, then under this public interest criterion that was being applied in this case, you wouldn't be able to seek asylum in Australia.
Well, it certainly creates difficulties. I should say, for the sake of completeness, that if you get an order from an Australian court in relation to the custodianship of children, then, of course, that is sufficient. But that's, for most people coming from these sorts of situations, not an option, of course. And it does create real difficulties when people have to navigate potentially a range of legal systems and get consent under all of those legal systems before children can be brought to Australia.
Now, there was a case almost exactly this time last year that was very similar, where the applicant in that case won. And that was something of a landmark at the time. Why is this case different?
Well, that was the matter of Shahi. That was a matter that was run, as this case was, by my colleague Christina Grinberg at Victoria Legal Aid. And it was a case in which the young man had applied to bring his family to Australia, much like Mr. Tahiri. He'd done that before he turned 18. Some significant period of time elapsed, and because he then was over 18, he was considered not to be a member of the immediate family of his parents and siblings overseas. And so his application was refused, and the High Court found that that reasoning was wrong.
Okay, so the reasoning was different in that case.
It was different. It affects the same client group, and I guess it shows that this is a technical area, and it's very difficult for someone like Mr. Tahiri or Mr. Shahi, who are coming from really a traumatised background in a foreign country with limited English. It's difficult for them to navigate these processes.
Yes. Well, not just them, I imagine. It's going to be difficult for a lot of people, even people who are quite familiar with it, as evidenced by the fact that you go off to the High Court and the outcome is this unpredictable. What does this mean then for children, asylum seekers who come here without their families? Can we read anything into the way the High Court's reasoned this that will allow us to predict how easy or difficult it's going to be for them to be reunited with their families?
Well, one of the things that's important to remember, of course, is that the High Court wasn't deciding on Mr. Tahiri's case on the merits. It was deciding on whether the minister's delegate had applied the law correctly.
Yes. Yes.
And so a lot of that is going to depend on departmental policy and the way in which that's implemented. And so I think that there is a case here for the department, for the government, to look at this question of whether this particularly vulnerable cohort of people have the right sort of pathways to family reunion in Australia. Mm-hmm. And it may be that working through departmental policy, through regulation, through the application of these laws, is the best way of ensuring that those pathways are appropriately open.
Well, I'll leave you and everyone else really to reflect on whether or not our current political debate will allow that kind of evaluation. I suppose we'll see in the fullness of time. It's an intriguing case. It's a complex case. Thank you very much for explaining it to us, Joel. And also, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Alex.
Joel Townsend, Migration Program Manager at Victoria Legal Aid.